Let's turn to Job. How'd you like to have a blessed message out of Job? Job is a beautiful book, isn't it, Vera? It's precious. It is precious. It is great comfort. Amen. Job chapter 42, all the way at the end. Get to the good part, huh? Okay. Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and they did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-hapuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Praise the Lord. Isn't that precious? Father God, we just thank you for these words. And we pray that this message might sink into our hearts also, that we might, like Job, speak the right thing of thee, and that we might know that we are accepted, and that we have gained that place of favor and entered that place of rest and comfort according to the wisdom of Job, and that we might experience the blessedness that Job experienced, to know that the latter end will be twice as much as the former end, that the latter house will be more glorious than the former house, that a double portion will be given to those who seek thee with all their heart, and that greater things than these will ye do, because I go to the Father. We thank you, Lord God, that the best is yet to come, and that we are living in these final days when we shall see things that have not yet been seen, and we shall accomplish things that have not yet been accomplished, because you have paid for all this, and you have said you will see it with your own eyes, and we shall behold the living God in the land of the living before you return again. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I have a good report. This morning I was at First Assembly in Burleson, and that was quite an experience. After I got done sharing, at the end of the service, people began to testify. what God had done that morning. And it was glorious. One lady had, just before I finished the message, the Lord told me, don't forget to mention boldness. And so I went to it and used that and closed up the message. And I wasn't going to do that, but I just felt the Lord's impression to do that. Immediately, a lady stand up afterward, and she said, you know, and she wasn't referring to what I had said, but she just could see it. And she said, years ago, the Lord told me to get boldness. And she said, I didn't know what it meant. I never have all these years. And she said, I didn't even know it was right. She said, I studied the scripture, and I couldn't find where that was so I didn't do anything with it. But she said, this morning, I know now what the Lord was talking about, and I am excited. And she sat down. Well, then another got up. And the final, the organist of the church, she just began to cry. She began to share, and she just began to cry. And she said, my whole life I've been raised in Pentecost. She said, I have never heard this word before. And she said, I just prayed this morning on the way to church. She said, God, I have striven so hard to serve you. I want to serve you with everything I have, and something is preventing me, something that I don't know what it is. And she said, now I know. And she was just bawling, you know, she was excited. She said, I am free. And just, it was so precious. It was really exciting. Job said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye hath seen thee. Now I've experienced the living God that I knew before and I heard about. There's two ways to know God. One is with the hearing of the ear. That's how we become saved. We become saved through faith. That's how all people come into salvation, is through the hearing of the ear. There's no other way to come. You can't do it by experience. You must come through the hearing of the ear. This is how faith cometh, by hearing, and that of the rhema, of the word of God that's spoken. But once we have received salvation and have heard, like Job knew God. He sacrificed. He lived a holy life. Job had a wonderful knowledge. He knew that God was present. He made sacrifices for his children. He was righteous in every way. There was none as righteous as Job. Job had heard of God with the hearing of the ear. But there was something more. And after this entire trial and testing that Job went through, Job said, now, not only do I know that God delivers and that God is good and that God is great and all the other things that Job just came to, this incredible understanding of God that he always had in his mind. He knew that there was a God. He knew that he knew that he knew. But now Job had experienced God in a way that would change him even more so. But he would be no more saved. He'd be no more a child of God. But the richness of that relationship was so increased that he could thank God for all that he had been through, because now he had experienced God in a new way. Now, he wasn't happy about the trials. He was happy about the God who met him and was adequate and sufficient and more than sufficient in those trials. And so Job said, I have heard of thee, verse 5, 42 verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And God lifted him up. He that humbleth himself, God will exalt. So when you have seen God, you cannot exalt yourself. When you have seen God, when you have that, when God does something like this morning, you know, there was such a, as she was crying, everyone got excited. No doubt the church was about 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old. No doubt they all knew her from the beginning. I don't know anybody there. And it was just so exciting. Everyone was, you could tell, it was just, they were all moved by her testimony. And she was just beseeching them with such earnestness. And there was a sense of awe. There was a sense of not wanting to go home, even. They're just almost wanting to stay there and rejoice. And it was God. God was present. Well, we knew he was present beforehand, but it's just the presence of God. I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I want you to know that that is why Jesus came. We had the gospel prior to Jesus. We had the gospel prior to Jesus. Jesus did not bring the gospel. I mean, he fulfilled it. He was exhibiting it. But he was giving to the eye. He said, many eyes have wanted to see what you've seen. He was making visible the promise that we already had. I mean, Abraham had the gospel. In fact, Adam was told the gospel. So the gospel was of old. Jesus didn't really introduce the gospel for the first time. He lived it out. He fleshed it out. The word that we heard with our ears became flesh. And he said, you know, many prophets have longed to see what you now see. And he wasn't talking just about physical seeing, because after all, Judas saw him, and so did Pontius Pilate and a lot of others, and they had no advantage. It's not just an outward seeing. He meant that God has now revealed, once for all, the living Christ. And we see it by faith, don't we? There is a day coming when we will see face to face, but there is a way of seeing God now and living. Now, in the Old Testament, when you saw God, you died. And that's why Job here even says, as did Jacob, I abhor myself. And Jacob said, no man can see God and live. But he said, I've seen God. There was a sense in which Jacob could say, I've seen the Lord. And he named the place where he was the seeing of God. That I've seen God and live. I've seen God and live. Well, in Moses, Moses saw the backside, but in the face of Jesus, we actually see the face of God. This is what God has longed to do, is to show us his face. And now, because we are a people that live before the presence of God, we live in the face of God. We live literally in the face of God, even though we haven't seen with our natural eyes yet. That does remain till the end. That is when you get a new body. You get new eyes, a new body. Then you'll live face to face with God. It means much more than just face. It means your whole being, your whole body, your whole physical being. But God, right now, is as real to us as he will ever be. God is as real to us as he'll ever be. Because the inner man is the real man. The body, the outward body, is a house. It's a temple. So we live now already in God's presence, don't we? There were some Greeks that came to Jesus just before he died, and they came up to the disciples and they said, Sir, came to Philip, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. That is the whole of your Christian life, to see the Lord. To see the Lord. That is the whole of your Christian life. God has seen you, and he has given you favor, and now he has revealed himself to those that hear him with the ear and believe. He has revealed himself to those that hear him and believe. First, hearing with the ear, like Job, then seeing with the eye. And again, I'm pointing out that this is a spiritual kind of sight. It's a spiritual sight that we must have. That revelation of Jesus Christ is what makes the difference. Now, many Christians have not experienced what I'm talking about. Many Christians, in a way, that girl this morning, she would have to say, I've heard of thee enough to get myself saved, and I've been filled with the Spirit, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I've seen many things happen and so on, but I knew there was something more that had to happen, and it was beholding God. It was seeing God in such a way that she was completely set free in her experience. She experienced the God she believed in. That is so necessary. That is so necessary. That is so necessary. Because unless we're with God, unless we're with God, we really don't know what it's all about, because that's what it's all about, just being with God. Now, Chuck, you mentioned this in your testimony, that you didn't learn about the peace of God and did a long Bible study on the peace of God or the rest of God or the something of God. You entered into God who is peace. Amen. Let me say that again. You didn't learn about the peace of God. Say, God, give me some peace. You entered into the peace of God. You entered into God who is peace. There's a difference. It isn't just, God, give me some peace because I'm nervous. It's, God is peace, and you enter into him. Well, you'd heard that with the hearing, but now you saw that. And that seeing changes your life forever. You never can go back behind that. Now, this is true only of those who have heard, because it's the hearing of the ear that is our base. You understand that. We're not diminishing that. Without that, there's nothing. But once you have your salvation fixed and secure, and you know that you know that you know on the basis of the Word alone, Once you have that, then God gives you experience after experience with the eye and not just the ear. And you begin to see Him in a real way. This is what you long for. This is what you desire to have, because it will eliminate a lot of the questions you have. You know, a lot of times you ask questions and questions and questions because you want to understand, but you cannot come to this through questions and understanding. There's nothing wrong with asking them, but they won't be answered satisfactorily. You'll have 1,000 of them and 1,000 more and 1,000 more. But once you have seen God and you experience Him face to face, you don't have any more questions. then you are... You're not more religious at that point. You're not more Christian at that point. It's just an experience that is so necessary for the children of God. You are that peace now. You will be rewarded twice as much. You will receive the double portion. You will do greater things than you've done before. That knowledge of God, that kind of knowledge of God, is as essential as the first kind, the hearing with the ear. So I hope it becomes the testimony of you, as it has in my own life, that everything that I'm preaching, everything that I'm reading in the Bible becomes reality to me. Every story that I read in the Bible, I do not read as a story, I read it as my life. And I will meditate on that until I see Him with the seeing of the eye. Because God wants that. It isn't that I'm getting that from God, it's that every story in this book has been written to you. You know, not only to our generation, but to you individually, to walk in it. And that's the excitement, is to say, you know, you can go up to a lot of people and tell them about the Lord, and they can be turned off because I went to church when I was young and so on. But you know such a person has heard of God, but they've never seen Him. You know such a person has never experienced the living God. Because I tell you, once you've had an experience, you can't go back. There's no way. There's no way. You have, well, I say there's no way. I don't know whether there's a way or not. All I know is my own case. There's no way. Once you have experienced how good God is, how great He is, the first time that God revealed Himself to me, not for salvation, but after that as His child, and showed me His face, I knew that from then on I could always expect that. I knew that from now on, if I ever got in trouble or if I ever got waylaid or something, I could expect sooner or later. I may not know how to get that right away or how it'll come about, but I knew it was there, and I knew it was there for me to apprehend. So as God has apprehended me, now I've come to apprehend God. And I just love the way Job came to this realization, because after these 41 chapters, you know, of utter agony, you know, all the theology, I just can't see how those guys were wrong. You know, all those guys that were wrong, they sound so right, you know. I'm sure I've given theology just like all those guys, you know. When someone's been in trouble, I've gone and offered my, you know, Temanite theology, you know, and I've offered those things. But I tell you, that's because I had theology like the hearing of the ear kind of theology. But you know, when you've seen God and you've seen Him with the seeing of the eye, your theology becomes richer. You know, it's different when you've really seen God than to teach out of a seminary book or out of a church or a Sunday school or a religious book. This becomes a love letter. This becomes a personal letter between Father and I, between my Lord and I, between my beloved and I. This becomes something so real to me that I can't read it any longer like a textbook or like a religious duty or something. You've seen God. That changes everything. That makes all the difference. Now, God is eager to allow you to get into trials, testings, and troubles, okay? So that you will turn, I mean, let me put it this way. He's not designing them for you, but they're there. You'll run into them. You just run into them. He is so eager for you to realize as quickly as possible that you don't want to theologize while you're in there or anything else. Just turn to God. And don't seek a solution for your problem. Don't seek to get out of the trial or the test or the trouble. Seek God. Seek to see God in it. If you will see the face of God, you will experience the hand of God. If you will seek the face of God, you will experience the hand of God. What happens when most Christians get in trouble? They call up the pastor, or they call up their friend, or they even call upon God. But they just try to get a hold of somebody that will just help them out of their trouble. Why? Well, it's because they've never seen God. But I tell you, troubles become almost exciting. Because I know when I go through some trouble that I've never gone through before, that getting out of the trouble is not really the big issue. The biggest thing is that I'm going to learn something about my God. I'm going to see something. I read the Bible. I know the scriptures. I know the theology. I know all about trials and tests and all the theology. But I'm going to experience my Savior in this situation in a way that I never have before. Every situation is unique. That almost makes it exciting, doesn't it? It doesn't add anything to my theology. I don't believe I'll have a new testimony afterward of theology. Do you know what I'm saying? I've heard of him with the hearing of the ear. I don't believe he's going to give me a new theology. But I tell you, I want to get up and testify and say, you know, just like the guy did before me, well, you know, God is good. I want to say God is good too. And all I want to do is get up and testify. And nobody, I'm not adding any more information. But my breast is about to bust. And everybody knows something's happening because he's seen God. That's what counts. That's the difference. So don't seek the hand of God. Seek the face of God. God has only one desire, no other, to reveal his face. Now, once you see his face, you'll also see his hand. He'll bless you like he did Job and so on. But Job wasn't excited about the blessing. That didn't come till later. Job didn't get that till later. The thing that was exciting to Job was he had seen God and lived. Not only and lived, but he now experienced the abundant life even before he had the outward accoutrements of that abundant life. They meant nothing to him. I don't think he cared if he'd been, had nothing for the rest of his life and kept the boils. Seeing God does everything for you. Amen. Now that's theology, but have you experienced that? That's theology. It isn't with me. I don't really care. Really, I don't. I don't care. Live or die, successful or failure, it doesn't matter. Why? You know why? Because I've seen God. That's why. That's not something cheap. That's something so precious to me, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I don't want anything else. If I get it, it's only because God, you know, grants that. But what I want, I already have. I have everything I want. Now, that doesn't mean that God won't put in me desires and so on and so forth, but I really don't care because I know everything's taken care of. I mean, I have such a lively faith that I could never be cheated, that you couldn't tell me, here's a situation where you're being cheated. Mm. Even if all the worst things you can imagine would happen to me, you can count on this, I'm going to rejoice. Because I'm going to see God in a way that I have never seen him before. But I won't hear anything different. I know I've already heard about how good he is. I'm just going to see it. I'm going to experience it day after day, situation after situation. I love it. That is my life. That's what Jesus was all about. That's why they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And you know what he did then? He didn't go and reveal himself to them, very interestingly. These Greeks came to him, and he knew that was the sign. When the Greeks come to Jesus, that was the sign. Now, you don't know that from reading it, but if you look very closely, he knew that was the sign that he was to die. So it said, they came to Philip and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. You'd think the next verse would be, so he went and revealed himself to them. Or he said, well, have him come on in, you know. But he didn't. Then he began to teach about unless a grain of corn or a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, if it goes under the ground, if it's buried, then it beareth much fruit. Now he's talking about the fruit among the Gentiles, the Greeks that had come to see him. He meant, it doesn't do any good to see me outwardly. If you want to see me in my death. If you want to see me going under the ground, being buried, died, buried. And then you'll see me truly, because I'll rise again. Mm-hmm. That's seeing Jesus. That's the Jesus you must see. Now, see, that's theological. You hear that. But now you can experience that resurrection power. You can experience that death, burial, and resurrection every single day of your lives. That is a daily experience with me. Every day I experience that afresh. His mercies are fresh. They're new. Every morning. Do you experience that? That's why we have prayer time. Not just to get things done in my life. Not just to get new insights or new messages for preaching or something. You know, God doesn't give me messages. He gives me himself.
Amen.
You know, Amen. If I go and say, now God, I need a couple messages today. He won't give them to me. Give me a good one, God. You know, give me a, you know, He won't. And God has never done that for me. He always says, you know, just come and seek me. And I said, well, I don't have time, God. I'm busy today. I have to give several messages for you. If you give me the messages, I'll come back later tonight, you know, when I'm all done, and I'll spend time with you. He won't do it. God wants you to come into His presence. And you know, we get nervous. I'll just have to confess. Many times I've been anxious, and I've wanted to have the message more than the Lord God. And many times I've said, oh, God, I know You're going to make me come in and talk to You right now. This was in the flesh. And I don't want to. Couldn't You just give me the message? You know, I'll give You all the glory, I promise. I'd make all kinds of bargains with God. But He wouldn't do it. You've experienced that, Bob. You can't treat God that way. God is jealous. He's a jealous lover. And He wants to reveal Himself. He wants to show Him. And you know, after that happens, I've always experienced that what I was looking for soon became unimportant, and that being with God was so much more important. I had 4 messages after that, and I didn't seek Him at all. I just sought God, came to know Him. And out of that came more wealth than I had before. I have heard of Thee. People have heard of God. The word has gone out, but people have not seen God. They have not seen God. He who receives you receives me. He who sees you sees me. Can people see God in you? Can they see God in you? There's only one way. It's not because you're born again. It's not because you're Spirit-filled. It's because you've seen God. The only way they can see God is if you've just seen God. The only way they can see God in you is if you're seeing God right now. If your eyes are fixed on Him. It's a funny way of talking, but it's an important way. Beholding Him, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are changed. Now Moses went up and saw God's backside and gave us the law. But Jesus has revealed the front side of God and gave us the Spirit. Moses gave us the law. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. This is the true. This is what God longed to do. Oh, when He looked at Moses, He said, I wish I could show you My face. I just can't. I can't. It's not time yet. Well, it's time now. What He did for Job and what He did for Moses and what He did in the Old Testament, He wants to do in a greater way among us, because we see His face more clearly than any of them ever saw. Only those that have seen God will someday see God. Now, many are going to come to Him saying, Lord, Lord, we did many mighty works in Your name. We cast out devils in Your name. We did this and we did that. And He's going to say, depart from Me, I never knew you. How can that be? Because they never saw the Lord. They never saw Him. They worked for Him. They spent their days in vanity. They were pastors, perhaps. They were evangelists, perhaps. They were Sunday school teachers. They were devoted to God. But I tell you, this is the only thing that matters with God, that you really know Him, that you see Him, that you visualize Him. I mean, you have such a living encounter with Him, not just words. Everybody's heard words. You know, I know what people want. I know they want to experience God, but you can't be saved that way. You've got to be saved by the hearing of the ear. Only then can you see with the seeing of the eye. But among the brethren, we need to lift up, and that's why I'm doing it tonight, just to lift up and encourage you. God is so eager, so ready to show Himself to you. Just don't try to get rid of your problems. Enjoy where you are right now and let God reveal Himself to you in the midst of Job's problems, and you will then understand. Now, you can't do this cheaply. You'll have to complain and gripe and do all the things you do while you're in the problem. Oh, God, but then you'll remember. Suddenly, it'll come back to you. Oh, don't get out of my problem. Seek the Lord. And suddenly you remember. That hearing will help you. Suddenly you remember. God is trying to reveal Himself to you. I can feel the anxiety among the people when they call me or when we have counseling or whatever. I can feel it, and I want, like a priest, this is wrong, but I'm tempted to want to solve their problems. I'm tempted to want to be a magician in that moment and say, oh, here, take 3 of these a day. I'm tempted. I just hear their cry, and I'm... God in His wisdom doesn't want that. And so we go the more difficult way, and yet the glorious way, and that is, you know what you really want, and you can't always tell this to people, but this is what it is Jesus wants to reveal Himself to you. Oh, I know that, but I just need... If You could just heal me right now, then I could... so on. If You could just tell me what to do here, then I could... No. You just need to come to know God. You just need to realize, and this isn't a work on your part, just stand still, stop, and see that God is revealing Himself right now in this situation. Don't change the situation. Look at the changeless God. And then everything will take care of itself. God will change the situation eventually, but don't seek that. Seek Him. This is a precious message. I'm so excited because I just know that each of you has had experiences like that. But I want to encourage you to do that daily. This is not a one-time thing. This is a constant, continual, abiding experience. This has been paid for in the New Covenant. Well, when Moses had one of these, he built a little altar. You know, in the Old Testament, when they had what they called a theophany, that's what they called it. That means God, phanos, it means light. When God glorified Himself in a spot, they built a little altar there. Bethel was one of those, and there were many of them. And there the people would gather together. Gilgal was another one. And that was a special place. Look, why we testify each Sunday night, and on Sunday morning too, whenever we gather together, is because we're building little theophanies, or we're declaring, oh, I had another little one the other day, and I had another little one the other day, and I had another little... There ought to be many theophanies among us. That is, God revealing Himself continually among His people. That's what makes us a peculiar people, isn't it? Amen. There's nothing else. It isn't our theology. Praise God, we need to have the right theology. But look, he says here to Eliphaz in verse 7, "For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." I tell you, when you've been with God and you've seen Him, you'll know how to talk right about God. It won't be just words. Job had good words. I think their theology was pretty good, you know, a lot of their theology. That wasn't the problem. The problem was they omitted the living God. They were solving theology rather than talking to the God of their lives. Do you see the difference? They were discussing theological truths. And hasn't the church been blighted with that for 2,000 years? Even sermons and messages can become words. We want reality. You know. Now, God is here tonight. God is here tonight to reveal Himself afresh, anew, to every single person here. You've heard of Him with the hearing of the eye, but God wants to do something. Nobody knows. I do not know. Nobody knows tonight what God will do. But I tell you this, God desires to reveal Himself. It's exciting. He wants to make Himself known to you personally and to us corporately in such a way that we walk away from here saying, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. That's your entire life. That's what it's all about. It really is. I've heard with thee, with the hearing of the ear. Now I've seen thee, with the seeing of the eye. What a testimony. That is the only God we know of. We don't know of a God that only talks but doesn't act. We only know of a God who constantly reveals Himself to His children so that they can reveal Him to the world. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as He had before. Your story is not over with. The story is not over with. The story is just beginning. As you begin to intercede for your friends, God is going to reward you even more. Twice as much. Amen. Good. Amen. It's in the intercession. It's in the intercession that God will begin to reward you even twice as much. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Anyone else want to share? We have a double sharing tonight. Anyone else? Praise God. Let's just close our eyes then and wait before God. Oh, Father God, precious Lord Jesus, You who are more beautiful than any lover, than any friend, than anything in all this world. We have eyes for no other. This world has grown strangely dim, but our eyes are sharper than they've ever been before, Lord God. We see more clearly than we've ever seen before. Who is blind but my servant? Indeed, we are blind, yet we see. Jesus said, those who are blind shall see, but those who say they see, they're blind. Lord God, we thank You that You have opened our eyes that we might see Jesus. At first, You touched us and it was like trees walking. But now, You've touched us again, a second time. And it's so clear. Now we don't see men like trees walking. We see no one but Jesus. As Peter and James and John were on the mount and they saw and they looked. And when the cloud went away, they saw none but Jesus. Lord God, ever before our eyes, there's just one desire that we have, that we might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life, forever. And behold the beauty of Thy face. Is this not the truth, God, with us? That having heard You, we long to experience You. Not to prove You, oh God, not to prove You. But that You might prove Yourself before us. That You might glorify Yourself in us and through us. That You might get glory as we have put our eyes upon You. We fixed them. You said, fix your mind, the eyes of our mind, upon the things that are above, the things that are pure, that are holy, that are just. Lord God, are those things the things of God? Can we see another? Can we see anything else? Lord God, we love You. Oh God. Oh God, there's just a tenderness in our bowels, just deep within us, just a hunger and a longing to walk with You and talk with You and love You and be loved by You and just to fellowship with You and abide in Your presence. Oh, that our eyes might be opened, the scales of our eyes removed as with Paul. We remember when Paul's eyes, the scales fell off and he saw for the first time in his life, not religion, not Judaism, not all the stuff that he had done for God, but he saw God, the living God. He saw Jesus who had been wounded, Jesus who had been hurt, Jesus whom he now came to love and to know. He heard the mercy of God saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He said, Lord, I don't even know You. Saul didn't know You for all those years of serving God with a zeal for God. Didn't know You. Job, who knew God, didn't know You. But now, we have seen You with the seeing of the eye. We have seen You because of Your word that we've heard. We know the presence of God is here, mighty to deliver, to heal bodies, to renew minds, to set free from fear, to give wisdom, to set these physical bodies free from the burdens that they carry, to right now strengthen hearts, to remove blood pressure, to cause our limbs to become limber, to give health once more to the bones. Oh God, oh God, we humble ourselves before You in Your presence. We know that You're here. We love You and adore You and worship You and magnify the name of Jesus. Praise and honor and glory to You. Oh God. Oh God.
Blessed be Thy name.
Oh God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
Love You. Oh God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.